Well, this morning I'm going to continue on in that spiritual battle series with a message entitled Battle for Your Time. And I want to make a disclaimer when we get started here. This is not a time management sermon. If you need help managing your time, talk to me later. You're not going to get that information here. What we're going to talk about is the battle that goes on for your time. The battle for your time. Basically, this boils down, I think, to the philosophy. Do you have a philosophy? Did you know you had one? It boils down to the philosophy that dictates your life. And the battle for time, I think, can be related to the battle for your mind and thoughts, the battle for your loyalty. What are you loyal to? I heard a preacher on the radio this past week said something that was kind of disturbing to some individuals, but I've said it myself in the past, and I think it's true, that we will find time for the things that are important to us. What's important to you? We will find time. I found time to go down to Anaheim a couple of weeks back to watch a baseball game with my wife. It takes a couple of hours to get down there, have the baseball game played, and then get home. But we made the time because it was important for us to get down there. That's why this battle for your time is related to the other spiritual battles that we have. The battle for loyalty, for your minds. It's the battle of how you spend your time. Battle for your thoughts. Battle for your loyalty. What are you loyal to? These things are going to dictate to us how we use our time. So this morning, I hope that I'm able to get you to a point where you're at least thinking about what it is you're spending your time doing. So, as I mentioned last week, there's like 168 hours in a week. The normal average week. If you take away 8 hours of sleep a day, I know that's generous for some, not enough for others, but I had to go somewhere. You minus 8 hours a night for rest, that leaves us 112 hours awake. Maybe active, but awake. And I want to commend each of you here this morning for making the time to be here. That this was important enough for you to determine this is how you wanted to spend your time this morning. I've been praying that it's going to be beneficial for you. Because one thing I don't like is when people say, wow, that church service was a waste of time. I don't like that. And I will do what I can to keep that from happening. Well, when we think about time in the scriptures, there's a couple of verses that come up, and I hope if you have another favorite verse about time that I didn't talk about this morning, remind me afterwards and we'll get to it. But in Psalm 90 that Rick read for us, verse 12, the one that he ended with, says, so teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. So teach us. Now, if you're like me, when you see a statement like that, so teach us to number our days, there's something that came before this statement that this statement is adding to. There's a reason why the psalmist asked for God to teach us to number our days. So teach us. So I want to go back in Psalm 90. And verse 2. Here the psalmist is praising God for his longevity. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You see how long God's been around? You see how long-lasting He is? You, Yahweh, are from everlasting and beyond. Well, it talks about God's nature in Psalm 90, but it also talks about man's frailty. Did you notice that in there as well? Man's frailty? Yeah, I'm moving up to the age where man's frailty is one of my major topics. We look at verse 10, Psalm 90 and verse 10. There we're told, the days of our lives, now this is speaking in general terms, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. We have a limited amount of time. That 168 hours a week, one day is going to be cut off. It's going to end. Just got news this past week. I don't know if any of you know Pastor Richard Worley, Dick Worley. I had met him briefly when I was just a young guy. He died last week. As I read the announcement, the email that announced his death, I thought, one day that's going to be my name in there. That's going to happen. Our days, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if we're strong enough, maybe 80. But if we're strong enough, their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it's soon cut off and we fly away, gone, like steam, gone. As much as we hope we can stick around, don't put your hope in that. Don't do that. I'd say keeping track of birthdays is a pretty good thing to do. I know there's some groups that say, no, we don't want to celebrate birthdays. But let's look back at Psalm 90, verse 12. So, teach us. That's the reason why. God, you're everlasting. We're puny. We're like the grass. We're like flowers. We're like steam. We're here and then gone. So, teach us to number our days so that we can gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us. I'd say keeping track of birthdays is not a bad thing. The counting does have a definite purpose, although, I think from this, that is to gain a heart of wisdom about time, how we spend our time. Time is another one of those intangible things that you can't get your hand on. You can look at the clock, but you can't get your hand around time. So I thought, what can I use to help identify this premise? So I thought, well, we all know about money, don't we? Sure, the lack of it, or the abundance of it. So we could change Psalm 90, verse 12, to say this, just to help us get an understanding. Lord, teach me how to count my money, so that I'll know if I get the correct change. I was one of my fears about going to Germany and buying something when they start coming back was that foreign money they use, that I wouldn't know if I got the correct change and take advantage of the Americanos. But no, it's easy because they use pennies and nickels and dimes and half dollars and dollars like we do, only it's euros. So it's easy. But teach me, Lord, to count my money so I'll know if I get the correct change. Money is something that we understand. And money and time are similar. Lord, teach me how to count my money so that I can spend wisely what I have left. We understand that, right? We understand that you've only got so much money. You got to make it last, so spend it wisely. You've only got so much time. You're going to have to make the most of it, so spend it wisely. There is wisdom in the good use of time. Paul directs us. We're studying the Ephesians on Wednesday night, and everybody's invited to that study. And so I thought I'd stick Ephesians into the sermon today, Ephesians 5. Verses 14 through 17. But in Ephesians, Paul directs us to walk worthy of our calling. Walk is a metaphor for life, living. Live in a manner that's worthy of the calling you've received from God. Walk in the light. And Jesus used the metaphor of the broad way and the narrow way. Walk in the narrow way. So here, verse 14 says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Wake up! Don't you know what time it is? Don't you know it's Sunday morning and church is going to be starting? Don't you know? Wake up, you who are asleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. Christ will shed light on your life. He will shed light on your life as we walk in the newness of life, that new kind of life. A new life of living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Christ will give us the light. How do you know we're doing one and not the other? Christ will enlighten us. Then verses 15 and 16, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk carefully. Be careful how you live. Not like the fools, but as wise. See, this goes back to Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days so that we can have a heart of wisdom. Don't walk as fools, but as wise. Be intentional on how you spend your time. Be intentional about that. Not like a fool. Who can't read the road signs, can't read a watch, can't read a calendar. Not like a fool, but as a wise individual, knowing that the days are evil. We are living in the last days, I believe, and those days, the last days, are evil for sure. But another way to take that is, that the days are evil, is the ones we've wasted, we don't get back. As much as you would sit around and daydream about, oh, if I could only go back to when I was 60. Or 17. If only I could go back and change things. You can wish all you want. It's not going to happen. That's another reason why the days are evil. We all set dates, don't we? If I was to ask you about this coming week, you got a free day next week? You'd say yes or no, or I don't know. But we all make appointments. You have to go see the doctor. We all have schedules. Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings. Work every morning. We all have schedules. But what do these things reflect? That's a question. Do all of these things show a heart of wisdom? If we were to look through your schedule, your appointments, the dates that you set, does it show a heart of wisdom? Paul said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Buying time for what is eternally important, spiritually good. The tyranny of the urgent. You've heard that phrase before, right? You gotta do it, gotta do it. This is the last day of the sale. This is the last run on the lot. If we can make it urgent enough, people will respond. Well, there's an old saying that popped into my head. And I was wondering if you can imagine God saying this to us by a prayer, saying, oh God, I just don't have enough time. Can you help me out with this? And then God says, poor planning on your part does not create an emergency on mine. Have you heard that before? Yeah, I've said it. I've said it to a couple of people. Poor planning on your part doesn't create an emergency on mine. Don't expect me to jump into your urgency, and react the same way you are, because it's not my urgency. It's not my emergency. Redeeming the time, buying time for what is eternally important and spiritually good. We can do that. Cut out some habits, cut out some activities, cut out some things so that we can buy time, redeem the time for things that are really important. And so we go on here to Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, don't be unwise. We want that heart of wisdom. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, that could be another whole sermon in itself, couldn't it? What is God's will? And I've had a lot of people say to me, Pastor, what's God's will for me? Well, let me give you, in a sweeping gesture, what I would consider the answer to that, all right? We're told here that we should not be unwise, but we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And this goes with determining what activity are you going to put in your appointment book? What activity are you going to spend your time doing? Don't be unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Well, if you look at Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 21, it gives us a pretty good start. Ephesians 5, 18. And you probably are familiar with these verses. Ephesians 5, 18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk. You talk about a time waster. This idea here, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Some translations, I think the King James says debauchery. What is this? Dissipation, debauchery stuff. Well, it's really a poor use of our resources, whether it's time, money, health, strength. It's a poor use of what God's given us. It's a waste, is what it is. Don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will. So he said also, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is songs that characterize the Psalms. Songs speak to one another. And if you want, if you're given over to singing, sing it, then that's fine. things that celebrate our Heavenly Father, or in a meditative teaching sort of way. Two things that indicate God's will. He wants you to be filled with His Spirit, and He wants you to speak good things about Him to each other. The third one is, give thanks always. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For all things. For trials? Yes. Hardships? Yes. Suffering and pain? Yes. Yes and yes. I know that's a subject for another sermon too. And we're running over as it is. We give thanks and let God's grace sustain us in the hard times in life. But when you realize God's grace in its sustaining nature in your life, you're going to give thanks. You're going to give thanks. I had that real nice snowblower back in Michigan. It was a 10 horsepower, two stage, electric start, self-propelled, snowblower. I loved that thing. I couldn't wait for it to snow because I had that snowblower. Before, I didn't look forward to the snow like I did after I had that snowblower. Let me tell you, Carol can attest to it. I hated to leave it in Michigan, but we did. You know, when God's grace sustains us in difficult times, the difficult times change in appearance. For sure. And the last thing is to submit one to another. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another. Not always getting our way. Not always being the last one to speak. Not always getting to make our point, but submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's the point. Because God's always watching. So we have these four things. What is God's will? Here you go. Make a note of it. Start practicing as soon as you get out the door. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak good things about God to each other. Always give thanks and submit to one another in the fear of God. In the battle for your time, battle for your time, you're the one who gets the final vote. In a conversation with an individual last week, yeah, I just got trapped in it. I don't know what happened. I said, you chose to do it. Oh, well, but no, wait. No, I didn't choose. I said, who made you do it? Of my addiction. You can't fall back on that excuse. I said, somebody made a choice for you to do something. Who made that choice? You see, we choose. And in this battle for our time, there are times when we don't want to be, but there are times to be patient. Especially with people we can't be patient with. Those people you want to strangle or slap, don't. Be patient with them. We have the time to be patient and long-suffering with others. We can wait on God and be patient. We need to mark and avoid distractions. What is one of your major distractions? Do you know? Do you know how to avoid it? So you don't waste time. Daydreaming. Well, it depends on what you're daydreaming about, but daydreaming can be a waste of time too. Fantasies. Wishing that I could go back to when I was 18 again and live things over. All of those kind of fantasies are distractions and need to be avoided. We need to make time for scripture reading. Do you know what Velcro is? Sure. Scripture reading is like the Velcro hooks in your brain with God's Word. You're going through your daily activities. Well, whether you're praying or talking with other people, if you spend time in God's Word, there's an effect of Velcro hook of His Word onto a situation, and when you see that situation, there's His Word that applies. Reading God's Word will keep God's Word in our mind as we pray and talk with other people. So I would encourage you to spend time wisely. Be wise in spending your time. There are time bandits out there. There are time bandits out there that are ready to steal your time. Redeem the time.